Boys and girls, check out your feet and then walk to me. Look at your feet. Oh, there you go. Good. Check out your shoes. Check out your feet. Anyone here with a fresh pedicure? Because we're talking all about feet today. No one? Oh, I do. What? What? Manicure? Pedicure. Oh, I haven't taught my son well, have I? Well, welcome, boys and girls. Welcome, Hillcrest. We are still talking about the armor of God, but before I can get started, I do have to do one little thing. I wear many hats in my life. I'm a mom of four, and I cannot possibly start my day without embarrassing my son, but he is certain I'm going to say his name, and I owe him $20, and I really feel like I'm going to give him enough money later today. So you tell me, which of my kiddos is having a birthday today? You can't count, you're the sister. He'll charge you. Who knows? Which of my son's birthday is it today? Say it. I can't say it, boys and girls. You have to save me $20. Whose birthday? Okay, say it really loud. All right, so we're all going to sing happy birthday to, you got to work with me, girl, because I'm going to owe him money. To, okay, stand up and you sing it really loud. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday to you. Oh, he's so mad. Oh, thank you for going along. I worked all week on not saying his name. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, back to important things. You know, as the mother, I can't let the day go by. It would be a shame. I had to be a mom for a minute. And I decorated his seat. Okay, so today we are still in the armor of God. And we've covered so far, we've done the breastplate of righteousness, and we have done the belt of truth. And we are on what? Yes, so today is called Fitted Feet. Really soak in my feet today. Can you see? I'm on a stool for you all. Can you see my shoes, my boots? Because, you know, some people might preach this message in army boots, which Mr. Duane did bring me a pair of his army boots, but that's just not my style. So I had to find the most obnoxious boots possible. And they actually kind of look like my skirt. And then my daughter and I spent 3 pointless hours turning it into an adult coloring book. And we made them nice and bright just for you. So you're going to forever see these imprinted on your brain and think of Miss Trina's message on fitted feet. So look at your feet. Check out your shoes. And feet are one of those things. They take you everywhere, right? We need them to get to places. And so I want you to look at the part of the passage. So that's my whole armor of God. And then I want you to look in the part that talks about having fitted feet. Next slide. Can I have the next one, please? Oh, it doesn't have that. You don't have that verse. Okay. Yeah, you were right, Toby. Sorry. All right. Ephesians 6:15 says this, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from a gospel of peace, we can all be ready to tell others about God and the peace that he gives to us when we've taken him as our Lord and Savior." Now, have you ever put on a new pair of shoes and thought, I can run the fastest, I can jump the highest, you just feel super great that day? Have you ever had a pair of shoes that make you feel wonderful? Thanks, Charlie. No shoe lovers anywhere? Amy, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, man, so now he's really mad. Oh, fine. Okay. I said Amy too, but Amy's not going to charge me. Has anyone worn a pair of shoes and felt so wonderful and excited to put on something new? People just say yes. Thank you. Oh, okay. If I was a football player and I was going to go head out onto the field, would I wear high heels?
No.
Oh, thank goodness. You do know. That wouldn't be smart, would it? Would that make me ready for the game?
No.
If I were a basketball player, would I wear my ballerina slippers? No, you put on something to help you be prepared for what you have to do in that moment, right? Yeah, so shoes have a purpose. You put on shoes purposefully to accomplish what you're going to do that day. So here are shoes that Miss Tarina would really wear, and you tell me what I'm preparing for. Ooh, hiking, yes. And snow. Yep, I wouldn't want to walk outside in flip-flops and snow, would I? I would wear this to feel taller. Yes. It's not for comfort. What would I wear these for?
Running.
That, you know what? I just did my shoes at home, and that's why I couldn't find this one. I had it here. It's to run, to walk my dog, Boomer. I have to be ready to walk. I'd wear this for ballet or my tap shoes when I go to dance. I'd put on these army boots if I was in the army. They would not want me. So my shoes prepare me for the task ahead, right? But God asks us to wear our fitted feet, our shoes of peace. When Paul wrote in Ephesians, all of the parts to our armor, our feet were just as important. In fact, when a soldier goes out to war, he's protected from his feet and even his shin guards, which is why I kind of picked some boots. My shins are kind of protected, right? And it's you're getting ready for battle. But the battle we're talking about today in 2019 is the battle of the Lord with people here on earth. We want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that we can share that peace and love with other people. But we have to be ready. If I don't have the knowledge of Jesus in my mind and in my heart and scripture that can flow out of my mouth, do I have anything to share? No? Brianne, if you were to come to me, can you stand up for a second? Because you play along with me well. If you were to come to me and you would have like a heart concern, you feel sad or you're wondering about something, what kind of feet would I need to have ready for you? Okay, so I would hopefully pick a Bible verse that would talk to you about comfort or being braver than you feel, but I would have to love Jesus. I'd have to study my Bible, really put it in my brain and own it in my heart so that I can flow from my mouth to help you, right? So I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, soul, and mind. So my feet are going to be ready, but I have to be in God's word every day to be in this world and not of this world so that I can keep telling others about Jesus. When I look in the Bible and I try to think of somebody who really just had feet ready to go, I think of two people in the book of Acts, and here's a picture of them. I think of Paul and Silas. Now, when I go back to my childhood memories, it was a song that went like this. Two for Paul and Silas. Anyone else know that song? Any Baptist babies out there? Yes, thank you. Sherry, Jack, yep, you guys always know my old songs. So all I knew about them is that there was two people, like Paul and Silas, one itty-bitty baby, born in Bethlehem. But Paul and Silas had an amazing story that you can find in Acts 16, and I want to tell you about it. They traveled all over wanting to tell people about Jesus. And they were bold in their faith, and they had their feet fitted with the gospel of peace, and they were ready to tell people. And it didn't really matter who they were. And one day when they were traveling along, they had seen a little slave girl, because even in biblical times we had slaves, and they stopped and they healed her, and they used the name of Jesus Christ and proclaimed their love for him. And you would think that that would be a happy time, right? Like, everyone clap. Yay, Paul and Silas healed a girl, right? But her slave owners were very angry, and they were not so happy about this. So they went on and told the officials. We call that tattling. They went on, told the officials. They were not happy, and Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. They were beaten. They were harmed. They were chained, and now they're kind of in like a dungeon-type jail. Okay, picture what your spirit would look like if you were thrown in jail. Just for proclaiming Jesus. Just for saying, I love Jesus. I used the name of Jesus and healed this girl. I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. That's what they did, and now they were beaten and harmed and put into jail. Show me your faces. This is what Paul and Silas did. I can't think of a song. How'd that happen? They're in jail, and they're singing praises like, sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. They literally are in jail, and they're singing praises. So what do you think that did to the people that they were in jail with? It brought up their spirits, yep. They weren't crying and whining and pain. They weren't filled with fear. They weren't filled with anger. They were filled with the joy of the Lord. They were singing praises, and then they were telling all their jailmates about this man that they serve, this man that they love, that they've taken as their Lord and Savior. Well, the jail guard was astonished. He was surprised. He heard everything, and he saw everything. That part's really important. If I say I have the joy of the Lord, but that jail guard saw me over here going, can you believe I love Jesus? Which part is the jail guard going to have kind of a struggle with which Tarina I am? Yep. Paul and Silas use that as a testimony experience. And then over here is this jail guard. Well, out of the blue, there was a violent earthquake. Everybody, pound the ground. And the jail doors flung open. And cuff your hands, and literally their chains broke off. That could only be done by what? God. It was a miracle, a big miracle. So, of course, all the other prisoners fled, right? They're up, they're running, they're gone. And the jailer, and I'm just not going to be a traditional Sunday school teacher and quote this, okay? I've prayed about it all week. This is what the scripture says. The jailer got up and was ready to kill himself because he knew that because of all of his prisoners were going to leave, he was going to be killed anyway for letting this happen. And guess what Paul and Silas did? They said, "Do not harm yourself. We will stay right here." Are they crazy? God just sent them free. Paul and Silas could easily run off and say, "Well, God intended us to run away from this jail cell and continue on our ministry." But they cared about that one, didn't they? And they said, "You don't harm yourself. I will stay. We will stay right here." And the jailer said, "Who is this amazing man that you serve? I want that same peace in my life." And they led the jailer to the Lord. And he even says, Paul and Silas, he said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You just have to believe." So Paul and Silas really had to do their work. They had to know and really truly love and serve this Lord in order to tell others about them. And the jailer's life was spared, and it's an amazing story, a big story that we need to remember. But Paul and Silas had fitted feet of the gospel of peace, and they lived in this, like, chill kind of peace about them. And that's what you want people to see in your life, because it's acting and loving the Lord in the right way that brings other people to wonder, well, why are you so chill? Why do you love God so much? Do you know what you would say to somebody if they asked you that? Brianne, do you have a thought? You have Jesus in your heart. That's the number one thing that I want to say. So a couple weeks ago, I led the boys and girls through a salvation prayer, which we do a couple times throughout the year because we know in our spiritual learning, as much as our academic learning, we have to cover these topics again and again because she might be ready today, but he might not be ready for 6 more months or 2 more years. So when I was telling them, I said, when I was a little girl growing up in a church, putting Jesus in your heart was a lot of hell and brimstone, we called it. Like, you want Jesus in your heart so you don't go to hell. You want to go to heaven. All of that is true. I want to go to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven. I love the Lord with all my heart. And I want to see every one of you go to heaven. And I want you to love Jesus with all your heart. But the most important thing about that decision is I don't want to do this world without him. I don't want to wake up every day just thinking about heaven. I want to wake up thinking, I can't live my day without Jesus. I want you to reap the benefit of peace and love in your heart by taking Jesus as your Lord and Savior now, so that when you wake up, you get to cast all your worries and fears on him, and he takes them, and he cares for them, and he molds you and creates you into an amazing person. So putting Jesus in our hearts is the first and most important thing, and it's not just for little boys and girls. It's for grown-ups, too, if you've never made that decision. Then you get to reap that benefit of having the peace that transcends all understanding that only God can give you. Paul and Silas had that shoes of readiness. They were excited. They were motivated. They led the jailer to the Lord. And we need to think about how we can hop to it and be ready to share with others. But there's always something that holds us back. Can you think of what might hold you back? Mm-hmm. Okay. What would it be with other people that might make you feel a little reserved to share that with somebody? Would it make you feel nervous?
Yeah.
People are mean now. That's a totally true statement. They are, and I'm going to tell you, I was pretty bold in my faith growing up, and I had really good experiences, and I had bad experiences, but I don't regret either of them because I know that I was being true to a call that God had given to me on my heart. So when I was in elementary school, I would pull little boys and girls behind the bushes at recess and say the salvation prayer with them. And I truly hope with all of my heart that I see them someday in heaven. I couldn't tell you who they are. I just know that I felt the need to lead others to Jesus. But there was a time in middle school where I wrote a note and I felt like I really needed to tell this boy about Jesus. And it was a horrible experience. And he let the note slip and everybody read it. And I wore that wound and I wore that bandage for a few days until something else became, you know, the big deal at school. So there's good and bad that come from that, but I have no regrets. I was bold, and I feel like I was being faithful to God, and maybe someday I'll see him in heaven. And even as a grown-up, as an adult, a teacher in my classroom once who said, I don't know if I'm a believer. And she got to tell me her whole life and what she believes, and I got to pray with her as a grown-up. And I have no regrets, but she came to me because she saw something different. Just think of your schools. Think of your neighborhoods. Think of your friends. You want them to feel the love that you feel from Jesus Christ. And if you feel that nudge in your heart, then you be bold. But here's a really cool thing you can do. You can ask a grown-up. You can call me anytime, and I will A, talk you through it, or B, pray you through it so that you feel like you've got the guts, you have the words, God provides the moment, and you get to share that with somebody else. So these are things that's true. Like, you can be afraid of what people might say or how they'll react. There's something in your own life that you're not feeling peaceful about or super wonderful about. So until you kind of feel that peace, it's hard for you to share it with somebody else. We have good and bad days as believers, right? Do you feel beautiful and wonderful and fearfully made every day? Yes or no? Do you wake up some days not feeling good? Grown-ups, do we feel this way every day? No. So what do we have to do? That might not be your very best day of sharing Jesus. It might be your very best day of pouring yourself into God's word and filling up your cup so you can fill up somebody else's. Those are real things. When you have those fears, you need to ask God, and you need to ask him to help you from being afraid and provide those moments. When we have peace in our own lives, it's an easier way to share peace with somebody else. There's a really fun quote that I read from Abraham Lincoln. He was our, which president? Very good, thank you. He was our 16th president. And he said, be sure to put your feet at the right place and then stand firm. These feet can take us wherever we want, but they also need to take us from places, and it's called fleeing. And I pray that you take your feet seriously and you put yourself in the right situation with the right friends, in the right activity with the right people. And when you are not, if you've got that, everyone touch your tummy, if you've got that feeling in your stomach that you're like, I don't like where this is going. I don't like that these people are being mean. I don't like that we're leaving somebody out. I hope that you have a nudge that makes you a nicer person. You take those feet and you flee. Say it. I'm going to take my feet and I'm going to flee. Because your feet can take you out of harm's way too. It's the Holy Spirit, and I pray that the Holy Spirit works in you in a huge and abundant way. And I pray that over our grown-ups too, the Holy Spirit is prompting us. We have to be still to hear it and to listen, to hear that prompting. Our feet can take us out of harm's way, and our feet can bring us to wonderful places too. With your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, you are ready to help advance the kingdom. That means you're telling other people about Jesus, and you're going to see them in heaven someday. You're ready to fight for what is true. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. I love that scripture verse. You can do mighty things as kids, just as mighty as our grown-ups can. You have a high influence in our world. You have a high influence to your parents and to your relatives and to your friends in your neighborhood. Fight for what is true. You know the truth. The truth is right here at Hillcrest. Flee from things or places that you're not supposed to be and share the truth with anyone that God has put in your path. Readiness comes when we wait on the Lord, whether we are active or passive. We are ready. And people, when we talk about fear of telling others about Jesus, we live in the United States of America. We have a church that is free to worship in. I can carry my Bible to school. My kids have all brought their Bibles to school. Nobody can tell them that they can't do that. Nobody can tell you that you can't tell somebody about Jesus at recess. Did you know that? It is a free country. How you believe is very important, and you get to be bold in your faith. But we have people that are being oppressed all over the world. They are in churches. We talk about this upstairs when we pray at the end of our Sunday school time together, that there are people who are praying in private and hidden under stairs and have churches in basements, and they're being oppressed because they believe in Jesus Christ. We're very lucky and we're very fortunate, and it is free. In this country, we are free. This church is a place that is made for kiddos of Hillcrest. You get to come to a church that loves kids, and you get to run the halls and have classrooms and lessons that are just for you. And that's an amazing thing. And I hope you guys take advantage of that, because there are people that would just be so giddy to have that freedom of faith. Romans 10:15 says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Your feet can be little preachers. Your feet can take you to say the good things and the wonderful things about Jesus Christ. They can flee you from evil and protect you. And I pray that you take that job seriously when you love the Lord, that you want to share that with other people. Romans, at the very end here, we're going to go through Romans 16:19. So think about what that means in your head. Romans 16:19 says, okay, be thinking of that. When our feet are fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, we're motivated to tell others about Jesus Christ. And the part of that scripture, it says, and of all the things I wrote it on slippers, because that can stomp out a bug. Let's see. And the God of peace, I need to put it on my toes. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Does that remind you of a song we've done upstairs? Okay, stand up, face our grown-ups. Any of my Baptist, old Baptists out there that know this song, ready? Be excellent in what is good. Be innocent from evil. You don't have to look at them if they look scary. You can look at me. Be excellent at what is good. Be innocent from evil. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan, and God will crush him underneath your feet. Stop two times. Oh, they sing this so powerfully upstairs. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan, and God will crush him underneath your feet. Everyone, Romans 16:19 says, you have to shout, Romans 16:19 says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Okay, I'm sorry, pause. Boys and girls, look at me. I'm getting off the stool. Look at me. Chant this three times. We go from quiet, medium to loud. Forte. Ready? And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Does nobody know that out there? Is it only Pastor Brian and I from our many years at camp? It's an oldie but a goodie. I want that, and maybe that will be obnoxious enough, it will stay in their heads forever, and that is my pleasure. So today when you go, you're going to get a shoe string, and maybe you even take a tiny little marker and you write, the God of peace will soon crush Satan, or I will have fitted feet, or I will proclaim the gospel of peace. But you get a shoe string and a worksheet, and on this it has all kinds of verses about being ready with your feet, and then of course a piece of candy. So let me pray for us and then meet me at the front row. Lord, I thank you and praise you for this morning. I thank you that Paul wrote so proficiently in Ephesians about the armor of God, and that we get to take all six of these pieces and really study them for what it is intended to be. We thank you for our feet. I pray for these mighty feet, all of these little kiddos that I get to have direct contact with here at Hillcrest, that their feet would first be fitted with you, Jesus. I pray that you would be in their hearts, be real, and be thriving. I pray that you would meet them on their toes in every day and what they have to do. I pray that they feel influenced by godly people in their lives to continue their path and their journey with you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray that our feet would be fitted firmly to stomp out Satan, to stomp out fear and evil, and be filled with goodness and love and joy and peace, and that we could share that with other people. We love you, Jesus. Amen.